my goodness. It is an incredible time of us to do some rejoicing and praising God. Although I am fully aware that within our congregation, not everyone has circumstances that make us feel we are called for to praise. And yet it's not like happiness we learn. Well, a Christmas present I gave myself this year was Smart Life. It was an app. I loaded it on my phone, and I got these plugs that allowed me to hook my outdoor lights and my indoor Christmas lights, and I could control it right there on my cell phone. It was awesome. I could crawl into my nice warm bed, although that's not too hard to do in Florida. I could crawl into bed, and I could turn off all of my Christmas lights outside and inside. That was amazing. That made me so happy. I just thought that was like incredible. So I came in here this morning with full intentions of demonstrating that to you with our Christmas tree. I connected the smart plug over there behind that big speaker, and I tried to download that plug to my iPhone, and guess what? It doesn't work. I can hit that button over and over and over again, but because I'm not plugged into the Wi-Fi here, right, and getting a signal, I couldn't control it. So I used the original source right there, and the tree is still beautiful, but I don't get to demonstrate that. But joy, and I'm going to talk about Henry Nouwen for just a moment. He shared something about joy, and Pastor Peter introduced us to Henry Nouwen and his buddy Adam. Remember, we talked about Adam a lot during Advent and how Adam, with all of his disabilities, brought Henry Nouwen such great joy. You know, he was able to tap into this incarnation experience because he experienced the Christ in Adam in all of his limitations and found this bubbling joy within his own soul as a result of building that relationship with him. So joy, Henry Nouwen says, is essential to the spiritual life. Now, it really doesn't matter whether you are of this faith community or of this faith tradition or of any other faith tradition. We have had the Dalai Lama and Desmond Tutu teach us together in their own walk through faith journeys that this joy is something we all as human beings can encounter. In fact, all creation experiences this unspeakable joy because of the incarnated Christ. Joy is not the same as happiness, for we can be unhappy about many things, but joy can still be there because it comes from a knowledge of God's unconditional love for us that's flowing in and out, this life journey, this flow of unconditional love. We have to choose joy, however, and keep choosing it every day and putting it into practice in order for us to get the full benefit of this joy imparted to us. It's a choice based on the knowledge that we belong to God who created us in God's own image. All of us, all creation. We are joy-filled because we have found in God our refuge, have we not? Our safety, our strength from time to time. And a solid trust that nothing, not even death itself, can take God who is divine love from you and me. The incarnated Christ in the birth, life, suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus points to this truth and grace that we sing about when we collectively sing joy, joy, unspeakable joy to the world. You see, joy is based on the spiritual knowledge that while the world in which we live is shrouded in darkness, God has overcome the world. 1 John chapter 1:14 in the Message translation reads, "The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. And we saw the glory with our own eyes, the one-of-a-kind glory like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish." This Sunday teeters between Christmas Sunday of 2019, when we celebrated the birth of the Christ child, God with us, Emmanuel, And the first Sunday of the new year, 2020. Don't you just love saying that, 2020? It makes you want to have new insight, does it not? It can serve for many of us a time to unplug from the oversurge of celebrations and activities that the holiday seasons bring and give ourselves the freedom and the flexibility to reflect upon the year that's passed, all that it held for us in our personal lives and even in our church life. Such reflection allows us to take inventory of ways we encountered God present in our lives and in our circumstances. This time of reflection can create a shift in our perception of things in order that the channel of joy rooted in us really can bubble up and overflow to one another. For instance, in times of doubt or perplexity, and I have had those in this year, do I now have a deeper understanding that God's been dwelling in each and every one of those circumstances and people that I love and care for? In what relationships did I encounter the unconditional love of God? Did I grow in love of God and love of neighbor? Did I exclude anyone? Have I practiced a heart of peace throughout this year? Where are the obstacles to encountering God's grace? With courage, we can reflect upon instances when we demonstrated our love for God in service to others, or when we wounded others with our words or actions, or had such wounds inflicted upon us. Where did choosing such courage lead us to healing and reconciliation in this last year? Emmanuel, God with us in the flesh, has shown us how God's unconditional love makes all things new in Christ by giving to us the gift of forgiveness. In this pause between Christmas morning and the dawn of a new year, will you allow yourself the privilege of taking a moral inventory of your thoughts, your words, your actions, so that this gift of forgiveness can be received and given? Have we, as the body of Christ, seen more clearly the Christ incarnate in us and others, creating healthier, intimate covenant relationships with our brothers and sisters who live in other lands, while empowering orphans to build lives for themselves and for their own communities in Africa, while supplying systems that offer clean water in Cuba, providing shelter and supporting schools and clinics in Guatemala and in Costa Rica? And then this tough question: where have we denied the Christ in us to love others as Christ loves us? Recalling the God in all flesh, worthy of all praise from all things, human and non-human, as Psalm 148 suggests, what illusions of power or control to keep God's love from flowing freely and fully into whatever or whomever God chooses, do we need to let go of in order for Christ's joy to truly be complete in you and me? When we've grown weary with all that seeks to divide us, or when situations have risen that try to rob our joy, recalling the birth of Christ, God incarnate in Jesus, incarnate in this messy, very fleshy life that you and I possess, that fleshy, messy life within our church and in all things created, opens windows of hope and opportunities to experience and share Christ's joy with one another. In the Gospel of John, chapter 15, Jesus is teaching his followers about the fullness of joy he encounters by abiding in the flow of love between the Father and between himself. It is this constant flow that I'm reminded of, that reminds me that full joy is the consistency, the ever-present flow of divine love between God and Christ, between Christ and the world, between us and all creation. It's somewhat like that smart plug and the app on my phone, that in order for us to receive the power, we must be connected to the Wi-Fi. In a spiritual way. For we are spiritual beings, and we need to be plugged in, forever connected to the source of energy, or call it divine love. Call it the beauty of life within. The stars proclaim it. The shepherds saw the star and they began rejoicing long before. The wise men see the star and they're rejoicing long before they ever encountered the Christ child. It's our opportunity today in this pause, in this reflection. Well, the song of praise that Jeannie read to us this morning portrays the shape of an authentic life that abides in God, that's able to recognize the character of God, whose steadfast love is inclusive of all creation, past, present, and future, non-human and human. It's a post-exilic song, no doubt written at a point of deep reflection upon the first creation story. It kind of sounds like that. It has that familiar ring. And I hope that when you go home, you'll take a look at Psalm 148 and you'll find for yourself the Genesis story of creation coming alive in that psalm. But I know that the psalmist did not always experience great elation, a happy life all the time. For this is a post-exilic hymn or song, indicating that there were prior days of pain and suffering and heartbreak, and loss. It's a collective universal hymn to be sung in worship by all of the congregation of universe, both human and non-human. It points to the ever-inclusive nature of God. The feeling is happiness when things are going well for us. We like that. But when things are not going right, and we are unhappy, sometimes we make the mistake of connecting that to God and feel that maybe it is God that has robbed us of deep joy. Well, real joy, according to Richard Rohr, has everything to do with things going, not going right, continually going within us, an inner aliveness that propels us forward, whether we're enjoying it or not. The river of this divine love has always and continues to flow. It is the indwelling spirit that is wooing, guiding, protecting, and inviting all things human and non-human to participate in unity in this universal flow of unconditional love and praise for it. For us humans, however, our praise includes awareness and acceptance of our responsibilities as co-partners with our Creator to care for and to sustain all that God created and is creating. It calls for practicing gifts of humility, compassion, and generosity of Christ within us. Without practicing these gifts, our focus turns inward, and we soon forget whose neighborhood we're living in. The walls go up, the lines are drawn, the doors get closed, and our joy is depleted. However, as we abide in the flow, stay connected, our light of loving kindness shines brightly, projecting peace, reconciliation, healing, restoration, and hope for the world who so desperately longs for hope. As we ponder our movement into the coming new year, how will you demonstrate a spirit of humility, compassion, and generosity for your own well-being and for the well-being of others? How will we together be a witness to the world of Christ's universal flow of unconditional love and grace? Can we do that? I would say it's as simple as standing when we sing, "Hallelujah, hallelujah, 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 and praise ye the Lord." But it often requires so much more than that. It requires a willingness to stand not only in celebration with those who have something to celebrate in life, but a willingness to step into each other's place of suffering or heartache or disappointment or loneliness and be those light bearers in the darkness. In this pause this week, My prayer is that you will make a conscious decision to embrace the freedom, the flexibility, and the receptivity that the incarnated Christ gives to you, and growing in that spiritual knowledge of God's unconditional love for you, for who you are as God's created and adored, your joy can't help but overflow. I offer you this blessing. It is shared by the Uniting Methodists who anticipate what might come in the May 2020 General Conference. There is that state of fear and trepidation as we enter uncharted but somewhat charted territories. We're concerned about how God will continue to be present in the church that at some point might have some division. How do we still be that reflection of Christ? This is a prayer or a blessing for a new year that's been offered to us by the Uniting Methodists in hopes that we might think more intently about who we are and how God's desire, just as the psalmist proclaims, is for us to be united, connected in the heart of Christ, in the heart of God who creates all things and binds all things together by God's love. Hear this blessing. In threshold places where endings meet beginnings, we're invited to listen backwards as we move forward. What can we learn from the year past? From how evil played its cards? Or from relationships gained and lost? What brought you deep delight when everything was swirling? To whom were you able to turn and who challenged you to grow? Individually and collectively, none of us are the same. For some of these changes, we weep, and for others, we rejoice. But from each, we carry something forward, a feeling, a lesson, a memory, a challenge, a call to solidarity. Collectively, we acknowledge a closing and an opening, a fresh start that offers only as much meaning as we need from it, inviting us not to wage war on ourselves, but just to pause and pay attention to our longings. A new year does not need to mean a new you. You do not need to make demands of yourself grounded in messages that are only meant to make you feel inadequate or unlovable. Your worth is ineffable. That is a constant that carries from year to year. So move gently with yourself into 2020, speaking instead words of possibility, committing to that which calls you, letting yourself be lured by the sacred in the direction of your most powerful becoming. Make only resolutions that will lead to more flourishing of life, yours and others. Reject individualistic notions of success and channel your growing in the directions of what we can become, of what we can create, of what we can divest from, and what we must claim, of what we must fight, of how we might love together. This is the healthy, intimate covenant community to which we belong, human and non-human. It is ours for the receiving, ours for the giving, the joy to overwhelm us and to be a blessing to others. So live this joy out loud by counting your blessings. Practice gratitude for heaven's sake. Look for it flowing throughout all creation. Take a walk. Breathe deeply life into your lungs. Sing into the wind. Have you ever tried that? The message that you sing gets to come back and fall onto your ears. And sometimes we need to listen to the messages we proclaim. I am one of those. Paint joy on a canvas. Write it in your journal. Meditate in that joy. Cultivate this joy in your soul so that on stormy days, and they're going to come, right? You'll recall it and you'll relive it. Connect with it in community. It's the only way joy survives. And we can find it in our support groups, in our fellowships and Bible studies, and all of the multiple ways Coronado invests in one another. We can experience this joy not only in our worship experiences on Sunday, but on the mission field and in every outreach opportunity Coronado invests in. Allow joy to be contagious spirit, to flow freely in this neighborhood of God. Pursue joy. Rest in it. Can we give ourselves permission to rest in God's joy? Well, this year has been an adventuresome ride for me, not only during Advent, but the days that preceded it. Days filled with anticipation and many, many duties. Some events tried to overshadow the joy of the Lord in my soul. But today, in this very moment, I am choosing to chase after joy, to join creation even today in praising God, to take deep breaths and enjoy the company of God's wide neighborhood in creation. I kind of choose to do it in my own way, but not alone. But in the healthy, intimate covenant community of my boating friends. It may seem odd or different, a different way of experiencing and expressing joy for you. But I don't want to postpone joy another minute. How about you? Don't call the bishop. I'm not done. For you see, I have learned from practicing joy that it's a beautiful day for a neighborhood. A beautiful day for a neighbor. Could you be mine? Would you be mine? It's a neighborly day in a beauty wood or boat. It's a neighborly day for a beauty like you. Could you be mine? Would you be mine? For I've always wanted to have a neighbor just like you. I've always wanted to live and work and play in a neighborhood with you. So let's make the most of this beautiful day. God's brought us together, so we might as well say, would you be mine? Would you be mine? Won't you be God's neighbor? Would you say that with me? Would you be mine? Could you be mine? Won't you be God's neighbor? I love you, neighbor. So in our response to that love, that flowing joy that overwhelms us and is so contagious, let us stand and affirm together our faith in God. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit,
the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.